Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
Hey, besties.
Hey, besties.
So, you know what I've been thinking about?
Oh, what have you been thinking about, girly?
It's graduation season.
Yes.
It's in the memories popping up, my own high school and college graduations.
Mm-hmm.
A very special time to reminisce on.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Of your accomplishments and how you ended up where you are today.
And it was such an emotional process and an emotional time, not only because you were kind of leaving behind this four-year summer camp, but at the same time, it's like you're entering into a workforce that you have been building up your life to enter.
A lot of pressure.
There's a ton of pressure. And I am really excited for our episode today because not only do we get to talk to a recent graduate about her experience in entering the workforce, but we also get to talk to someone who was one of my former interns when I was at the City Paper. So we have Juliana DeShetler today in the studio. Hi, girl.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yes, we're so excited to have you.
Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for the nice intro, both of you. Thank you.
No, we're so excited. You know, we have seen over the past few years how hard you've been working, and just this is such an awesome culmination of all of your talents into this one special event of your graduation. And we're excited to talk to you a little bit more about your experience, what you're planning on doing moving forward, and just ask you some general questions about media and journalism.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm relieved to be graduated, to say the least. But it feels like, first of all, the 4 years, as you guys know, they flew. But then you're still in your early 20s. I'm like, oh, what's next? I'm kind of nervous, kind of scared. But taking it day by day.
Why do you think people go to grad school, girly? They're not ready to not be a student.
I was thinking that myself. I don't know. I'm still thinking, but not right now. Maybe later.
Yeah, so fair.
Absolutely. So fair. And we want to get into all of that. But before we do, give us a little bit of your background, kind of high school times and where you grew up.
Yeah. So I went to high school at Springfield High School in Holland, Ohio.
And we love a Toledo native.
Yes, yes. And actually, when I was in high school, they had like a communications class, and it's kind of like journalism. So I was on the radio there. I think that's kind of how it all started, you know. Yeah, I did high school there. And then to be honest, I didn't want to go to college. So to be completely honest, my parents forced me. But so thankful that they did. Seriously, it's life-changing. Yeah, and then I decided I was going to go to Eastern Michigan University. I went there for another 4 years. Of course, I went undecided. Even though I had spent my time doing communications in high school, I still, you know, it's a big commitment. So I went undecided.
Well, and entering into a school undecided, like, tell me what about Eastern Michigan kind of stood out to you? Mm-hmm. Why did you choose that school?
We visited, my family and I, we visited the campus, and it was such a pretty campus. It really was. Of course, I visited UT too, and I had looked at their media program, which I also enjoyed that. And we can't lie, they have a beautiful campus as well.
True, of course.
They do. But I mean, again, to be frank, it really came down to the scholarships in EMU. They just offered me more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I did. I've met so many friends. I mean, my professors alone, they were so inspiring, and they had taught me so much, so I'm so glad. My journalism professor, shout out to them, they put so much confidence in me, so I feel like I chose the right program there, honestly.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah. It really is. It is.
So you entered in undecided.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, when you made that decision on going into journalism and into media and communications, you know, what was really the sell point for you with EMU?
I honestly think that I was just really scared of making that committed, like such a big commitment, because even though I had went undecided, I was still taking media classes from the beginning.
Right.
Like, I even took, honestly, really weird. For when I grew up, I wanted to be an actress, so I took fundamentals of acting.
Period.
Also took a math. Like, I was all over the map. Like,
yeah.
I took math. I did it all. But, yeah, journalism was what stuck. I think it was my writing that really did it. I love video production, podcast, all of that, but writing is like my roots. So I think I did a few writing classes and I was like, yeah, this is it. This is what's going to stick. And that's really, it was up from there. I majored, got my bachelor's in science, in journalism, and digital media production.
And listen, you know I'm a journalism girly too, so I also have that bachelor in science. And I gotta say, it's hilarious to be able to tell people that I have a bachelor in science. Because yes. I'm the least scientific human.
Numbers, not my thing. That's actually why I went into journalism.
Right.
Yes, so I was actually just saying that to my friend. I was like, that's really weird that it's not a bachelor's of arts, but honestly, I prefer it. So I'm also on the side
I feel
of
the same way with my sociology degree. Sure, it's a social science, but I'm not in the lab.
We'll take it.
Right,
we'll
exactly. take it. I know. And then my other bestie who graduated in biology from her undergrad, I'm like, no, we are not the same.
We're not the same.
So while you were in school, I know you to be very involved in lots of things. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of your involvement with different groups on campus?
Yeah. So first, I started with the Eastern Echo, and I never left. I love it there. Seriously, they changed my life. I've met my best friends there. It's like a close little family.
And to clarify, Eastern Echo is the paper.
Yes,
at the school.
It is the student-run mm-hmm. paper at the university. So I spent 2 years there, where I started as honestly, the delivery person delivering the newspapers.
Yes, which girl.
We needed those people.
I love those people. Mm-hmm.
And then I moved on to a news reporter. Of course, I stayed as a news reporter the whole time because, like I said, writing's my roots. I'm going to continue to write. But then I went into podcasting. I was a podcast host for two shows there, Scoop on the Scene and Eagletainment. And then I grew into the digital editor position, which I feel got me so many opportunities. So I'm so thankful. But it really taught me a lot about myself as well because, as you know, as editor, you're managing other people. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge. It really was. Like I said, it taught me so much. It shaped me. So as a journalist and as a person. So
yeah,
I did that. And then I also briefly did a video club. It was called VMU. So did that briefly. Just try to get involved any way I could. But the Eastern Echo definitely took up most of my time, seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
So during your time working with the Echo, do you have any specific stories or projects that really stand out as something that you're proud of?
Ooh, specifically at the Echo, I focused a lot of my time in the entertainment field, which I still love. Like I said, as you can see through my projects, I'm all over the place. I still haven't picked my field. I love it all, and I'm going to try to do all of it as long as I can. But I did focus a lot at the Echo in the entertainment field. So some really standout projects that I remember right now is there's this Reed Quinette, called Acropolis, and they had recently won a Grammy, and they were in Carrie Landry, the clarinetist in there. She was an EMU alum, so I had interviewed her, and I wrote a story on that, and it was a profile on her experience as an Eagle, but also winning this big award for her ensemble's composition. So that was really, it was a privilege. I felt really honored to do that. That was special, because that's kind of the field I grew up wanting to do, was interview celebrities, so I felt like I was on track there. And then again, I also got to interview a Chicago rapper. His name was Lil Easy, and I did a profile on him as well. So I really like those pieces. I love the pieces that involve people, that humanistic element.
Yeah.
It's just they're trusting me with their story, which, I mean, it's an honor, and it's scary, but it's exciting at the same time. And then also it's fun, that field of work. It's exciting. It gets the views. We can't lie. It does.
Yeah, of course.
It has all its benefits.
Well, and it made total sense to me. I mean, when you and I first met in your interview, we got along pretty well right away, because I think I recognized that same thing. You know, I went into journalism because of that human element. I love those human interest stories, and being able to take something that you're passionate about, like the entertainment industry, and then make that relatable for an audience through your writing is so important. And I mm-hmm. think it's really cool that that's something that you're also interested mm-hmm. in. And I do want to talk too, obviously, while you were going through school, you had numerous internships and you freelance wrote for a lot of different publications. So can you kind of give us the rundown on your interning and your freelancing experience?
Yeah, I started my interning journey with Riley at the Toledo City Paper. That was my first internship, and I've told Riley all the time, I love it. She also instilled so much confidence in me, but also I got to see what a professional newsroom was. But as Riley made it so fun and exciting to be there, you as well,
yes.
We're not even in the same department, but you were still so kind and welcoming.
Oh, thank you.
No, of course. So I remember my time there. It was so much fun. I tried to be in office as much as I could. So that really set me up. And again, in the entertainment, it was the arts and entertainment paper. So I felt like I was doing something right. I felt like it was a passion. Like, I felt like I belonged there. But exciting enough, I actually have a very recent opportunity, which by the time this is out, it will be announced. I actually just got the Dow Jones News Fund internship in the audience engagement program. So I'm really, really excited for that.
And for those of you non-journalists listening, that is one of the most prestigious and incredible internships that you could possibly land as a journalism student. So seriously, congratulations on that one.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, it was so rewarding to get that acceptance. But I'll be into the audience engagement program, and starting in a couple weeks, I'll go to Philly, do some training there at Temple University. And then during the summer, it's actually a remote position. Mm-hmm. So I'll be intern for Investigate Midwest. So I'm excited to start my journey there as well and make my mark on their social media, because I'll be dealing with like the digital website maintenance, newsletters, social media outreach, stuff like that, and posting.
That's
so I'm
amazing.
Excited.
All stuff that you are more than well equipped to handle.
Thank you.
And I know also, you know, you've been freelancing for a bunch of different local publications and still working as a freelancer with City Paper mm-hmm. and the Toledo Free Press and some other really awesome groups. Do you have any particular stories or projects that you've done outside of college that have been really poignant for you mm-hmm. as a journalist?
I can't lie and say, because I was a commuter student, so it was a difficult kind of to split my time because I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted in Toledo versus maybe Ipsy. But the work that I did get to do in Toledo, one story that really stands out, again, shows the diverse field. Like, I can't pick a field here, but it wasn't in the entertainment, it was more serious. And it was for the Toledo Free Press. It was a story about a nurse who lives in Perrysburg, but she's from and was born in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And she shared her experience about how going back and volunteering during the war as a medical volunteer. Yes. And it was extremely eye-opening, so heart-wrenching. And I'm just so thankful that she was so vulnerable. And again, trusting that another element of trusting me with her story, because it was a lot. It was tragic. It was horrific. And it seriously, I put so much into that story. And I feel like it shows that if you read it. I hope it does at least. But that one really sticks with me as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk too, obviously, with all the success, and we're so proud of you.
Thank you.
But behind everything, you know, there is challenges and adversity that we have to overcome as you're moving through your field. Do you want to, you know, give some insight on those things?
Yeah, I think just one note you'd have to take away for anyone is you have to be your biggest advocate. Like, you have to advocate for yourself, because no one else is going to do it for you. They aren't. You have to do it yourself. Whether it's speaking up or, you know, just giving your two cents or just pitching an idea, like, it could be in a range of things, but you have to put yourself out there, or else you're not going to get seen, unfortunately. That's just how it is. Especially in this field, there's so many of us, so many unique, creative people. So I think starting whatever it is that you're doing and doing it for yourself and continuing to do it despite any setbacks or anything that you're told, just keep doing it for yourself. It's going to pay off. It has to, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But no, I really do believe that. So just sticking with it, be your own advocate, keep going. Not much more you can ask for.
Yeah. For sure. And you talked about this a little bit too, how it was hard for you to balance going back and forth, you know, between school and in Michigan and then working here in Toledo and doing a lot of freelance stuff in Toledo. So I want to talk about, obviously, you live in this area and you work in this area and you were going back and forth. How were you able to balance that? I mean, first of all, and then why is Toledo a place where you wanted to spend a lot of your time?
Mm-hmm. I am so, so excited to be done with those 50-minute commutes every single day. I'm ready. I am. But my family's here in Toledo. I'm from Toledo. I do love Toledo. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to visit a lot of other cities, or at least some. And Toledo does have the energy of big cities. They have it here. And if you can't see it, you're not looking hard enough. You're not looking in the right places. So I think I'm just grateful for the start in Toledo, because it is somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it does have, it's growing, first of all. It has great media.
Yeah.
It's a small city, but it has a lot of passion in it. So that's why I do love Toledo, and I'm familiar with it. Ipsy, it's only 50 minutes away, but it did feel like a big change, and it was kind of hard to get involved there. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I had my newspaper that it helped me, but Toledo's always going to be home. So I felt like I just kind of fit right in and grooved right into it.
Yeah.
And especially with the Toledo City Paper and the Toledo Free Press. So I continue to work with them. You guys just follow my work. but I'm excited to see what's in store next. Because who knows? I don't know what's going to happen after. Because in August is when the internship ends. So I don't know. I have my eyes open.
For sure. So on our last episode, we were talking about kind of this job search and how to transition smoothly from one job to the next. So talk about kind of that process of, you know, adjusting your mindset from school and course loads to then job applications and moving into that.
It's a lot of pressure. It is. But luckily, like, I did get that internship. So my process is a little delayed. Luckily, I can focus on that a little bit longer. But yeah, within that internship, of course, like within the next month or two, I am definitely going to have to lock it in and figure out the field that I want to go into, because I, like I said, I love it all: video, writing, podcasting, and social media, and I hope to still do it all. Of course, I have to pick my lane, and I'm just applying to as many as possible. I have so many screenshots in my phone, just saving all of these for when I'm ready. But honestly, I think it's really important to research where you're going to go and to see if that's a right fit for you. Mm-hmm. Yes, it might be the position you want to do, but is the environment, is the culture, are the people in the place, the staff, the surrounding area, like, is that also a fit for you? So it's a whole, that's why I say it's a lot of pressure. It's a whole big picture I have to look at. And maybe you guys have some advice when you, because, you know, you're here, you made it, but I'm still figuring it out, just like any other 22-year-old, definitely. But I'm on Indeed, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on all of it, just scrolling all day, trying to get my bite.
No, you're real. I mean, I think I was joking with some friends about this over the weekend. I think job applications and applying for jobs are a job within itself.
It is. It's all day. All day.
It's all day. I mean, you have to scroll. You have to look at not only the salary, but also the location. And you have to look at the benefits. Yeah. You have to think about how it's going to affect your mental health with picking something that you want to do.
I know. I love that you mentioned the culture, because that's so important. Yeah. It could be the perfect thing, but if it's not the right energy, you're just going to be burnt out so fast.
100%.
Absolutely.
Not to mention the follow-ups. That is more time. I have
the
follow-up. Like, are you ignoring me?
What's going on? I know. That is one of my biggest pet peeves with, like, HR and hiring industries. It's like, you know, obviously at a smaller company, I can be a little bit more understanding if you're short of staff.
Yeah.
But those bigger companies, if you have somebody who is working specifically to hire people.
Yeah, come on.
I should not be following up with you. You should be following up with me. Thank you.
I mean, as a journalist, you know, maybe you're the same, but I'm constantly bugging. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, hey, I know it's been 2 days, but what's going on?
That's that advocacy and, you know, making sure that your presence is known, getting to the bottom of the question. Like, it's very innate, I think. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk to you about, obviously, this is kind of a loaded question, but in this job search process, do you have a dream job?
I get asked this a lot, and my answer changes a lot.
Of course.
I used to be a writer. And then I was like, I looked at all the other media. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I want to be a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been thinking about, what about a talk show? That would be a dream, right? That could be a dream. But honestly, like I was saying, I like the video production and I like podcasting, but I do like both ends of it. Whether it's on air, but I also like the editing and the producing and the directing. And we can't lie that the editing gets ignored. And editing is an art. I love editing.
Executive producer, Chris, loves you right now.
editing is, it gets overlooked a lot. And what I'll say is, we all know editing makes it, but I have a love-hate, let's say. I have a love-hate relationship. Yes, I love it because it is the art, it makes it, but it takes forever, especially because nobody looks at it. Nobody thinks of it. It gets like,
it's a thankless job.
Yes, it doesn't get its recognition. But
I think truly, though, at the end of the day, most journalism jobs are a little bit thankless, which is something that, at least for me, I had to kind of reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you ever go into something for glory or fame. You go into it for the passion.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you get to a point where you're doing all this hard work and it's just always somewhat behind the scenes. So I think that's definitely something to consider, too.
And like myself, and I know you do it as well, is like, journalists, we're promoting our own work. So it's like, I'm editing this, I'm trying to do my own promotion on social media, I'm trying to like get my story out there or whatnot. So it is a lot behind the scenes also that I'm doing that I'm not getting paid for. I don't care, but right. I'm still doing it. Like, I'm working on my phone all day.
Yeah, it's time consuming.
Yes, it is. And it's a lot of my energy, but again, it's the passion, so I'm not complaining, but.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that too, because I do want to talk about social media. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in addition to all of your other multimedia pursuits, social media is a big thing that you have been involved with. You have experience professionally and with your school. I think, you know, sometimes you can get caught in this argument with some of the more traditional journalists where they get a little bit squeamish about social media mm-hmm. and kind of delegitimize it and the power behind mm-hmm. it, right? So as we know, it's a powerful tool and it takes a lot of skill to be good at social media. I mean, it's not just anybody with a camera or a phone can point and shoot. It's like,
you can.
Yeah.
It's like you have, if you want to actually get your message across in a good way, it's just the same as writing a good story or editing a video. So I want to ask, how can social media and journalism complement one another rather than being in this weird, poised as competitive space, mm-hmm. you know?
I would argue that in today's world, journalism can't even exist without social media.
It's a bold statement, but it's a true one.
I'm with you.
It really can't. And especially right now, we need real quality journalists and journalism on social media, because it is filled with fake news and false media and mm-hmm. clickbait, everything. It's filled with it. So, you know, you need those integrity-filled journalists still. Yeah. So that's one aspect of it. But also, you know, to stop misinformation, but also to share the news. Mm-hmm. But also, we're growing. We're evolving. That's where our audience is at. You kind of you have to meet your audience. At the end of the day, journalists work for people. They work for the public. So you have to meet them halfway.
Yeah.
Another thing, another aspect is the promotional aspect that I was just kind of saying just a minute ago. If, especially freelancers, mm-hmm. you know, you're not really on staff, you're not really, maybe you don't have a name on the paper or something, you have to promote your own stories.
Yeah.
And if you want to be recognized for that, you know, you have to be consistent with that. So that's like daily, that's a lot of work, that's making videos, editing, posting, captions, like, all of it. You have to think about it all. So it's definitely something that goes hand in hand, and I think it builds one another.
Yeah. Well, and we talk a lot about personal branding, right? A lot of people try to enter into that influencer space and have their own personal brand. But then at the same time, you can do one of two things, in my perspective. You can either have your personal brand and kind of influence and take that where you want, or you can also fold in your work brand too. Mm-hmm. You can make them two separate. I mean, people have work accounts and personal accounts. I know you're one of mm-hmm. those people who you have a personal account and a work account. But I think being able to build a brand for your work, mm-hmm. especially like you said, as a freelancer, where you are constantly advertising yourself and your skills to people. It's like the job application process, but 24/7.
Exactly. So
social media definitely can be a powerful tool for that. I appreciate that insight.
I was actually just having this conversation in my head myself. I was like, do I blend my accounts or should I keep them separate? So I think I'm going to keep them separate for right now mm-hmm. just because I do a lot of writing right now. So I don't know aesthetically how that will look on my grid on the personal.
But that's important.
Yes. See, these are the things you have to think about and things that I think are often overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll keep you guys updated. Don't worry.
Yeah, right?
We're following. Don't worry. Yeah,
we follow both. We're well
real
accustomed.
Fans. Yes. We love that.
And you kind of touched on it a second ago with kind of the integrity of journalism right now. But entering into this space at such a kind of tumultuous time, how are you feeling?
I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
I'm a little scared. Not going to lie. No, but I think it's important. It really is. It is important. And that's, I don't know if I have much to say just because I know my field is a little bit more towards the entertainment.
Sure.
But, you know, I am going to work for Investigate Midwest soon. So, and I'm actually working on an investigative story right now that's data-driven with numbers, guys. Yeah,
yes, girl.
So, you know, I'm diverse like that.
Bachelor of Science.
So I may not be the best person who's really going to go out there in that field, you know, but I do admire those who are. We do need them. I'm mm-hmm. here to support them. It's needed now more than ever, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Public media has never been more important than it is right now. Mm-mm. Right now. And on that, I think we talk a lot about the intersection of journalism and ethics, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm curious from your perspective, what do you think is the biggest ethical challenge that new journalists are facing today?
I don't know about the biggest, but one of the big ones is on the social media. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to not get out of your personal and professional mind, that state of mind, you know, whether it's what you're posting. You have to be careful, especially if you have a lot of eyes on you. So I think journalists could have trouble with that ethically. You know, you have to keep in mind your audience and that you're being seen. Like, people are coming to you. They trust you. They want unbiased news. So you have to make sure you're unbiased on whatever you're posting as well on your platform. So
another one I think that is really interesting that we talk a lot about, and almost to the point where I don't even want to talk about it anymore, but just coming from your perspective, I want to talk a little bit about AI. And particularly, you know, two things. One, we've been out of school, Libby and I, for a couple of years, so we aren't up to date with what's currently being taught in that space. Same time, we also want to know, in your perspective, how journalists can effectively use AI versus not use AI, and kind of what the line is there.
That's another love-hate relationship I have.
I
agree.
It has its pros and cons. Yeah, it really does. Obviously, you can't have – chat will never be able to – AI chat, whatever. It will never be able to write your stories.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't have that human voice, that emotion to it. At least I know in class we were taught, like, we were actually encouraged to use it to show its flaws. It's not accurate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, if you ever ask it to quote something, it can't quote. It doesn't accurately quote, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, not the correct original source. It makes up attributions. Yeah. Also, that's not trustworthy. Come on. So we use that to show its flaws. But I think AI is good for maybe the social media realm. You know, it could generate a caption. It could generate a headline.
Yeah.
But it's not, don't rely on it.
Yeah.
Especially because if you rely on it, you'll lose your groove, and then you won't have your spark as a writer. You know, you'll become lazy.
Sure.
So I think there's a fine line, like you were saying. It's good for assistance, idea generation.
Yeah.
But it's not good for completing the project.
It's a tool, not a replacement.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a tool. I like
tool,
that.
It's a tool, not a replacement. I mean, but shoot, you know, we were always pulling up my Snapchat AI being like, help us with this headline, please.
Yes, for simple things like that, I think it's definitely, it has its wit. But
and I mean, the thing about it too is that we would do that, but we would never use just point blank what it says.
Yes.
It would just be like, oh, we can jump off of this.
Yes.
And sometimes you need that, because coming up with stuff all the time and being creative, it is a kind of exhausting.
Yeah. Exhausting.
It's not always something you can just turn on. So having that helper, I don't think there's any fault.
It's good for a starting point for like an outline. Yeah, definitely.
So kind of going back to that current climate of journalism, how do you feel like our generation can help?
I think by not being afraid to share your opinion, first of all. Everyone has opinions. That's okay. Don't attack each other for the opinions. But also, whatever you believe in, stand strong in it. So we have to come together. I think uniting, for example, since social media is so relevant in our society, repost what you think is right. You know, show more eyes. This is sharing it. You're going to, you know, have a bigger audience. Comment, maybe like engage with it. So people know what is right and what is wrong, what to continue and what direction to go to. You know, if we ignore this, and it doesn't even have to be on social media, just journalism altogether, what do we expect from it? You know, what's going to change? We're not even listening to what the people who are telling us the problems.
Yeah.
So I definitely think at least just hearing, consume news, read everything, and then spread it, what you believe in, what you stand for.
And cite your sources.
Cite your sources. No, definitely. 100%. The original source, so people can look back and make their own judgments from that.
Absolutely.
I agree.
There you go.
And, you know, we always like to kind of round out these episodes by asking a general piece of advice. So what advice would you give to other young professionals or other budding journalists who are listening to this podcast?
I kind of touched on it earlier about being your own advocate, but seriously, I mean, of course, there's a line not to cross, but I think for the most part, if you have a thought or if you're thinking about doing something, just do it. And that goes for anything, whether it's you're doing a job or I like to think that in my life, like if I'm thinking of a compliment, I'm going to say it, because if you're what good does it do in your mind? It does no good in your head. You have to get these ideas out. You have to get these words, these thoughts, these jobs, whatever it is, you have to get them out and just do it. And you're the only person to do that. So I think if you just get in the habit of getting out of your comfort zone, let's be clear, everyone has, not everybody has anxiety, but everyone faces a little bit of anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's normal. So use that to your advantage and get out of your comfort zone. You'll only benefit from it. What you can only, like, you can only say, be told no, like, fail, but you'll get right back up. It's better than staying and not growing. You know, yeah. You have to grow. So that is my advice.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire.
Never.
We are back with a Roman Empire, and I think we've got some good ones today. So who wants to kick us off?
I think you should.
Me? Little me? Okay, well, I will be transparent and say at first I was going to talk about Thunderbolts, the new Marvel movie. But out of respect to my lovely executive producer who has not seen it yet, I'm going to refrain. Instead, I'm going to talk about a pretty commonplace internet Roman Empire, which is the infamous clip of Victoria Justice saying, "I think we all sing." I have never in my life thought any clip was funnier, because you know that's not what she meant, but the way it came across was exactly like how everyone is taking it. Like, it is just so pick me, so jumping on the train, so attention seeking. And it's like, sorry to Victoria Justice, like, listen, I know you didn't mean it. Like, it, girl, if you're listening, like, it's okay. Like, I know you didn't mean
it.
You
were here. Yeah.
You looked so good at Coachella this year. Like, I'm not mad at you. But it's just really funny because I think that I think we all sing is so applicable in every single element of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, I have noticed that so many times with my coworkers, where it's like somebody will come up to me and be like, oh, you know, you, I mean, and this is at any job, it's not necessarily my current job, but at any job I've ever worked where I've gotten praise on something I've done, you know, somebody will come out of the woodwork like, oh, well, I think, like, I worked on this too. Like, I think we all, like, had a hand in blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yes, I do believe in giving credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, like, you cannot do anything truly by yourself. Like, everybody has a support system and people who help them put stuff together. But it's like, man, not every time do all of you have to sing, okay? And that is my Roman Empire today. Thank
I
you very
love
much.
That.
That is so funny. Poor Victoria. She did get, like, torn to shreds.
She got torn to shreds.
Yeah, she did.
And I'm sorry, but when you're in a clip with Ariana Grande and Liz Gillies and you're saying, I think we all sing, you're gonna get flamed for that, girly pop. Like, they are next level peak. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I agree. For sure.
All right, Libby, why don't you hit us with yours?
So, I need to talk about this simply. we're always talking about community theater, but this one I just cannot get out of my head. So, I watched Stone Productions do Spring Awakening back in March, and it's still in my head, and I still need to talk about it today.
She got me blushing in the studio.
Riley was so talented. I did her hair, actually, for it, which was so fun to watch.
That's actually my real Roman Empire, is the hairstyle that Libby did. So I choreographed that show, and I was in that show, but I played a guy named Georg, and Libby did my hair the way that Skylar Astin, who played the role on Broadway, did his hair, and it was just iconic. Like, you knocked it out of the park every night.
Thank you. I mean, Jules, you saw it every night.
The dedication.
The dedication.
And my hair
it was
never
gelled. It was
like
crunchy.
That.
Yeah, it was crunchy. The hair masks were used.
But completely regardless of that, it was just like such an amazing show. So talented. Every day I'm just thinking about, wow, I'll never get to see that cast do it again. And it's just sad. It's devastating to me a little. It was so beautiful and just like truly moved me in a way that I honestly didn't know community theater was able to do, because it was just that next level.
Buddy, I love that. And so we'll start working on the Libby Cassidy revival show ASAP.
Right, like my living room is open for performance.
All right, Jules, you are our honored guest today, so hit us with yours.
I'm still thinking about the Met Gala outfits.
Girl, same.
Yes.
For example, Rihanna, pregnant. Again? What?
Hey, girl.
She's always popping out at an event. She's always taking the shine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm still thinking about that. Also,
she looked amazing.
Yeah, truth.
When doesn't she? Seriously, when
of course.
Doesn't she? There were some great outfits, though. This
Doechii?
Yes.
Doechii.
Jenna Ortega's outfit, too. I seen it split. Mm. I kind of liked it only because I felt like it kind of bounced off her humor.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I feel like it was a little sarcastic, maybe. A little too literal. But who are your guys' favorites?
It was a little basic. I did love Sabrina Carpenter's, though. Her look was real classy. Yeah.
I know Louis Vuitton really did their thing.
Yeah, Zendaya was in Louis Vuitton, I think.
Yeah, Zendaya's
a queen.
Everyone's talking about the hat, bro.
So and good. I just...
She can't miss, though.
She can't miss.
She can't.
She can't miss.
Coleman Domingo suit. Incredible.
I think I am the president of the Coleman Domingo fan club. I love that man. He can never do any wrong. But you're right. I mean, this look in particular, it's not my favorite of his because, I mean, he never misses. Yeah. But, like, this was really iconic.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one, too. There's a lot of new faces, but obviously a lot of familiar. But I didn't... Did you guys see all the Kardashians there? I think I only seen, like, Kylie. I don't know.
Yeah, I did not see all of them.
Okay, I didn't see them, but it was I didn't really search it out, though.
Not memorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wah, wah. But, yeah, no, I think definitely if you guys have not seen all the Met Gala fits, there are some great recap articles online. Mm-hmm. And, obviously, TikTok has all the random weigh-ins of opinions and the reviews, so you can check those out. But, Jules, thank you so much
Seriously,
for being on the episode
you.
Of us.
Thank you, guys.
This was so much fun.
So much fun. Thank you. I can't wait to come back.
And hard congratulations on your graduation.
Thank you so much.
Want to thank Juliana DeShetler, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the amazing Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.